on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 31st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Jacob. How are you doing, Jacob?
Hey, what's up, Darren? I'm doing amazing. You know, it's always nice to start off the morning with you, so why not?
Why not? Why not? We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 32. In the house, and there's a little bit of stuff that happened. So we've got some interesting canoodling going on. We've got some speeches being made, and some future betrayals being planned.
Yeah, and it's all cultivating to be. It was a chill day, but I think the things that were said yesterday got me excited for some people's gameplays in the future. So we'll see how this goes.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. We started the day with Tina and Tara, who Tara has this new plan. I talked about many of these things last night, but that's okay. We got more detail here this morning. Tara has a new plan for nominations if she were to win. And now this seems to mostly be like a double eviction thing. Like she's worried that if she goes after the guys in a double eviction, then they might come right back around and take a shot at her in retaliation, immediately following it. But this idea is that what if she puts up Beth and Brayden, and then tells Brayden that, hey, we've got the votes, then backdoor one of the guys if the veto is used. If not, then they can just take out Beth and say to the guys, like, oh yeah, we never had any intention of putting you up. I talked about this last night, but it does seem like this is a pretty dramatic turn on her previous stance. It does make me wonder if she was in fact talked to by the diary room about her microaggressions and her behavior toward Ty and Jet.
That's what it really looked like. Because I know she was really stronghold. Even had her issue with Ty, she didn't like, Ty and she didn't like Jed. And so seeing her say this and saying like, I don't want to put them up initially just because I can kind of play with the idea of, hey, I don't like want to do this to y'all. I was like, first off, this plan is messy as hell for one. Second, this is, it's not like a, oh, they won't be mad at me if I don't put them up initially. Initially.
You had it fine initially.
Initially. And so I'm like, you plan on backdooring them. You want to put Beth in. It just seemed like, what the hell? Like, it definitely seemed like she got talked to by the diary room and to cultivate like, I'm not necessarily targeting them, but I still kind of am. And I don't know. It was messy as hell.
Yes.
And I don't even know how Tina could sit there with a solid face, not move. And like, oh yeah, I'm like, this plan sounds preposterous and her reasoning sounds. Yeah. I wasn't keen on it.
Yeah. This is how Tina always acts. She's like, well, I don't know if I would do that myself, but it's a good idea. What? Tina just can't seem to tell Tara to stop.
I know. And I need, because Tara doesn't have that close of a relationship with anyone else besides Tina. And so Tina needs to be that one to be like, yo, these thoughts that you have, like, I like that you're bringing them to me, but like, why? Like, stop, but she's not doing that. And she's letting Tara kind of like keep rolling the ball on it. And, we'll see. If Tara wins HOH, literally, I will be so discombobulated. So my mind, I think, I don't think I could eat that night. I think I may like have anxiety. They're saying that if she wins, I honestly do. Wow.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. It's
gonna be a sad day.
It'll be
very interesting.
I don't think this will actually happen personally. I mm-hmm. think that, first of all, it's not a double eviction. So she's gonna have time to think it through. And second, like, so because of that, she's going to talk it through with people other than Tina, who will be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Why would you put up Brayden and potentially sour that relationship? Why would you, like, if you go after Beth, the guys are going to feel like you're going after them. They're not going to buy this idea that, like, oh, it was not a backdoor plan, even if you do. And if you only put up one of them, that's not going to appease the other one. The other one's not going to be like, oh, well, she didn't put me up. I have such a great relationship with Tara that clearly I was kept off the block because of that great relationship.
No. But my best friend in the house, he was up on the block and she's basically taking a shot at me, but not really. She's keeping me safe. Like, no, you think these people are idiots?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not it, Tara. It's not it. And I feel like we oftentimes see this. I don't know if I can call it a dichotomy because I really don't know what that word means, but I feel like it's easily suited to what I'm about to say. But I feel like oftentimes when someone, like, they get outed for having like microaggressions and just showing very like temperamental ways to a certain house guest, and like say they get called out on that, their objectives or their focus shifts, and it's just like the painting of the portrayal of, oh, I'm not like that type of person, you know what I mean? And I don't know if that annoys me, but also the idea that she had before annoyed me, and how she was acting towards Ty annoyed me. So Tara's just in a very, with Jacob Jones in my mindset, it equates to annoyance when I see Tara, when I hear Tara talk. And so I don't like the other flip of the coin. They're like, oh, I don't want to be perceived as this, so I'm going to change this. When like we've seen how you acted and how you've, you know, presented yourself and how you, you know, treated Ty and these different things. And so it's like not, it's like smearing makeup on a pig. Not calling Tara a pig. I'm saying like, oh, these acts. Sorry, not calling Tara a pig. But I'm saying these acts are like, oh, I'm trying to cover it up by like not targeting them. But like, I still want to be perceived as like a person that's like, oh, you know, I don't have an issue with this.
Right.
You get what I mean? Not calling Tara a pig.
Instead of learning and understanding why her actions and behaviors were upsetting and bad, and then changing her mindset, she's instead just kind of like, well, if I don't put them on the block, then surely nobody will think anything bad of me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we also heard from Brayden and Austin. Brayden was talking to Austin about something that happened the night before, that apparently something went down. There was some canoodling afoot. And it didn't happen with feet. It happened with necks, but we'll get to that later. Brayden says that something happened between him and Ty last night. And she said, where did this go? How far did this go? And he was like, I'm not going to say. She's like, just give me a percentage. And he's like, what do you mean by percentage? And so she went on to demonstrate visually with her hands what the percentages meant. And I mean, again, I said this last night, but like, there were much cleaner ways of describing these things than physically acting them out with her hands. But she
did. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like they were trying to be coded in different ways, but it was like everyone kind of knew what they were talking about. America watching, Canada watching, I mean, and some Americans watching as well. And so I remember she was like 15%. 35%, Like 67%. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. We can't. It's inappropriate to do the 67% on this podcast. How she did that.
Yes. It's not going to do it. Not going to do it. But yeah.
So Brayden tells her he'll just say a percent at some point in the day and then she'll know. And so people were looking out for it, but we never caught it on the cameras. However, we did get a description later that explained about exactly what happened, supposed. So we'll circle back to that. In the meantime, Kiefer is going to have a study session. And this is actually the majority of my notes.
This was Terrence's highlight of the day yesterday.
I already did like a reenactment a little bit last night on the round table, but I tried to be a little more detailed this time, and I wrote down a good chunk of his bit here. So Kiefer is alone in the Expedia room, and he is going over the days. And he's doing some studying. And as he's doing the studying, he kind of like, once he gets to his HOH train, he just starts to lose it. He loses the direction of where he's going, and he starts to get into this, like hype mode, where I think that he thinks that maybe he's like a wrestling announcer or something.
Yes.
And the cameraman is playing along, like doing dramatic shots and zooms and yes. like pulling focus. And so Kiefer, one of the best to ever, and he's kind of like whisper talking, like one of the best to ever play. Kiefer comes to the realization that he needs to make a big move for his people. He puts up Showtime, a duo that could potentially squander the hopes and rally numbers against Kiefer's alliance. Kiefer saw that he could rally and manipulate. Kiefer saw through Stu. And so, day 21, Kiefer puts them up, makes it look like his target was Ro, because he put him on slop, because they've been on slop, and then they were eating PB&J, but not anymore, now he's on slop again. Day 22, Ro comes out victorious, he is a player! Stu thinks this is the best case scenario, until the grim Kiefer puts up Stu's girl, his second, potentially first closest person in the house. So, Stu comes to the realization that Kiefer has him. But Kiefer diverted the blood. It's about planting the seeds and watching them grow to flowers. God. Oh, the flowers that I have grown in this game are so beautiful. I smell them everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I smell those flowers. Day 27, Kyle goes home. No more Kyle. No more Stu. No more games. You're welcome, Canada. Day 28, the invisible HOH pops up on the screen. No, it was day 30. Day 30, the invisible HOH nominates. It wasn't day 30. It was day 29. It was not. Nominates Austin and Brayden. Day 30.
Oh my gosh.
Then day 30. Young Rohan, still not day 30. Young Rohan can't cook eggs to save his life. Wins the veto. Will he use it? Everyone thinks he will, but Kiefer knows that he won't. Because Kiefer, and the reason everyone thinks that he will is because Kiefer has been telling everyone that he will. But that was only because Kiefer wanted to pressure him into not doing it. And what a good move by me, but I pressure him without actually pressuring him. And so because of me, everyone thinks that Ro is going to use it. What a great move by Kiefer that week. No idea what he's talking about.
Well, you know what I thought of when he started talking in this tone? I was like, was Kiefer the announcer voice on season 8 of Big Brother when they did the comic book and they used the voice? Because when he was talking, it did sound exactly like season 8 voice when like they intro the house, they intro like the theme of the superheroes and one. And I was just like, wow, like Kiefer, he was plotted for season 9 way before season 8 even ended. So I was thinking he's the announcer voice for season 8.
There you go. They've been planning on this for a while.
They've been planning on this for a while.
So then Kiefer can't win the next HOH. He would like to win the next HOH. I would like to, but I would have to break hearts if I won that HOH. Hearts would be broken. I would become a villain. I came in here depending on my social game, not even thinking I would be a comp beast. Even though I said I could, I'm going to be one of the greatest Big Brother Canada players in the history of the game. Losing is no longer an option. Nothing short of winning and being the greatest to ever play this game will be worth it. Day 31, Kiefer talks to the cameras.
This day 31, Kiefer talks to the cameras, period. and recounts the wrong days for events that happened. So,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. Do you enjoy Kiefer this season?
I watched his speech twice, so.
Okay, because I know Kiefer gets a lot of hate. And for some reason, I can get it, but other reasons I don't. But I honestly have enjoyed Kiefer this season. I don't know if it is because of the false reality that he has in his mind of how he's playing the game. I don't know if it's because he's working with one of my favorite players, Ty. I don't know what it is, but I'm rooting for Kiefer a little bit. He's not doing, I feel like a lot of people in this house have horrible reads in this game, and Kiefer, he's on that measurement a little bit, but I think he hasn't done anything that's like, wow, like any stupid, you know, move in this game. I feel like he's playing pretty well for the people that's in the game right now, and he's at a place that I feel like the target is so many bigger targets. He's positioned himself in a way. And he was even talking about this in his speech. I don't know how true it was in the moment, but when he made the comment of, oh yeah, I'm not going to talk in that voice. You do it way better than I do. I want to attempt. Oh yeah. I tried to get, the blood not on my hands by people thinking that Ty and Jed are running my HOH. I don't know if that was in his head at the moment, because, and then, you know, they had the roast and people made jokes about it after the fact. And I feel like that is what played it. Oh, like I can actually try to run with this and not seem like I'm a complete doofus and thinking like I just gave my HOH to, you know, but I don't think he gave, because they're in an alliance. So it's kind of like all hands on deck, but I don't know. But all that to say is I'm rooting for Kiefer a little bit, and I like him. I think he brings an element to the show. It's like humor. I think he brings some delusion in some capacity as well. But I also think he's, you know, seemingly we can say good at comps, and I feel like I like the people who he's working with. And so I'm team Kiefer a little bit.
I just love the players that that just become megalomaniacs in the house. That they start talking to the cameras and they just completely like I'm thinking like Arlie season 2 in the pantry when he's like I've won this game. It's mine. Poppin' Paul Jackson. I've got to become the villain. Scott in BBOTT. I am on these BB streets. You can't stop me. Any time somebody is cast who is going to do this, I am into it.
Yeah. So everyone watching, when you go on Big Brother, you know what Taryn is looking for.
It has to be genuine, though. You can't fake this. You have to genuinely think you're amazing.
What do you think about Victoria doing it? Because she's been doing it a lot. She doesn't have that same energy, that same like rah, rah, rah-rah energy, but she has a little bit of it.
She's definitely very fun. I would love for Victoria to do a full speech. That would make me very happy. Like,
she just gives moments.
Yeah, like when it's just one-offs, like greatest to ever play, like that's funny. Mm-hmm. That's funny. But like, I want a full-on speech about the flowers and how beautiful they are. You know what I mean? That's okay, what I want.
I got you. I like that. I like it.
Oh, man. The flowers. Oh, the flowers.
I can smell them everywhere I go.
I smell them everywhere.
Wait, the inhaling of it sent me away. When he inhaled, like, what are you smelling? Because, like, what are you smelling? And so I was like, the imagery that this is painting is amazing. It's amazing.
Nobody else knows who the HOH is, but Kiefer knows because it's the spiciest HOH of the season.
He's the announcer for Big Brother. It's solidified at this point. When he goes in to do his confessionals, we know that he's also doing another job and doing the sound bites.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jed and Ty are going to spend some time in the ball pit counting the balls. They're going to be counting, searching, doing all kinds of things. And they tell themselves after that, we got to do this. We got to do this regularly, which is annoying, but we've got to.
Yeah. I tuned back on feed. I was going for like 10 minutes and I went back in and they were in the ball pit, like without their shirts, just like standing right there. And I was like, what the hell? Like, is this doing? And then I kind of caught on to what they were doing. And then Jed was like, yeah, we have to like put something in between our legs. And then they took out the shirts and then put it between their legs so no balls would come through. And I like when people like work together like this meticulously to like try to figure out something. And like they're trying to crack the code in the Big Brother house, even though I feel like something will be there eventually, or, you know, they may not. But I like that they're playing the game in that capacity, thinking like, huh, let's try to get any edge that we can over the competition. I think it was like 4,000 they counted, you know, a little bit, 4,000 in that little quadrant that they had. And then I think they equated to it being over 300,000.
Something like that.
And I was like, wow, that's insane. But I always like when people go in there to just like figure out some edge. I like when LaToya went in there and she hit that ball in that one corner. It was that purple ball. And so I definitely enjoyed it. And I hopefully them counting the balls and them doing it regularly will paint something out for them.
Yeah, I feel bad, though, because nothing's going to come of it until Big Brother decides they want to put it to drop a power in there.
And then even when Ty was talking about, he was like, yo, look at the arrows, like the arrows may be pointing to something. And then the camera always makes me so like, because they'll like play into it and they'll like zoom into one arrow. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, please check that one spot. But then it's like probably nothing. And so the camera work on these conspiracy theories are part of none.
Yeah. So Ty is going to explain to Jed and Beth, what happened the night before is that, Brayden from behind, gave him some kisses on the neck, some behind the neck bed kisses. I feel like we're always talking about last time you were on this update, Jacob, you were talking about Ty's Beth kisses.
We were, because how Ty's kiss wasn't, it didn't make a sound, but Jed and Hurt's kiss made a sound. And the sound was like, you know, I was talking about how if you don't make a sound when you kiss, it's like, but when you do make a sound, it's like, you know. So I'm thinking that this may have been like a neck kiss, you know? So hoping it was.
Yeah.
But we are always talking about ball, like we're always talking about the ball pit.
Ball pits and late night Ty kissing.
Oh, goodness. But I like this was because I was about to say Butch. Beth was pushing like the narrative, like, yo, go into it. And then Ty revealed, he was like, yeah, he was like kissing on my neck and stuff like that. So playing into it. And I was like, I need to see confessionals. I need to see diary room sessions about this, because we've seen this strategy in numerous seasons of Big Brother. In Big Brother Canada, we saw with like Kevin in season 5, Big Brother US. We saw it. Where do we see it in Big Brother US? I feel like we saw it on...
What is the strategy that you're talking about?
Just like how like the portrayal of like, oh, like the one guy trying to flirt with another guy just for like the game purposes.
I like maybe like a Zanky situation.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, we saw like something like that and people are like, I feel like it's oftentimes this narrative like, oh, you're a horrible person. But I feel like Ty, he kind of explained it. It's like, yo, I'm just doing it like for the game purpose. And I feel like, I don't know if it's like the game purposes and we don't know what we're not saying that Brayden is like, oh, I'm getting married anytime soon, that he's like falling in love with Ty, or to Ty is like, you know, how his feelings are with him. And so I just thought it was a fun moment. And, you know, they've been in quarantine. So, you know, everyone wants physical touch. You know what I mean? Like, especially out of quarantine, you're in the Big Brother house. Everyone needs a cuddle and a neck kiss, you know? And so, hey.
Yeah,
I thought it was all fun, you know.
yes, so you know, they kind of segue this into like, does this mean that we can bring Brayden in? Can we? Does that mean that like this is a good connection that we can use in the game? And that is kind of a topic of conversation for them for the rest of the day. We're gonna hear a little bit more detail about what happened again a little bit later from Brayden. So we will circle back to this one more time.
What do you think of that, like, of bringing Brayden? Because when I heard it, I was like, I mean, honestly, I don't really see, I can see Brayden and Rogue still like having that relationship, but I don't see Brayden really connecting that hard with like Terror or and Tina. And I see him going with, you know, say Austin does leave tomorrow, I do see him going with the Ty and Beth group a little bit more. And so I didn't think this was that bad of a strategy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he fits in with them more. He is, they are closer to his age. And Ro is also younger, but like, Ro is all game all the time.
He's all business.
And that is the opposite of Brayden. And so I think that naturally Brayden would gravitate toward Ty, Jed and Beth anyway. And so if he's got this kind of thing going, it's definitely possible that he gravitates in that direction. And that's a good thing for Brayden, as long as he's also willing to take a shot at them. But if he's actually with them, then he's at that point, they're just handing them the game. But it's also, I think he is also apprehensive about this connection. He does not know what this means about Ty, or what his intentions are. And so that could, that could maintain a distance between them if there's nothing really there. So this is still, I think, a tentative thing.
Yeah, a tentative thing. And I think I just, for me to gain 1000% clarity on the situation, I feel like I just like would love to see like some confessionals about like how like Brayden's feeling, how is Ty feeling, just so we can get like the different variants of like, is Brayden like 100% like, oh, he's like trying to play me and whatnot, or she's like, hey, this is just for fun, you know, as well, and we'll see, you know. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We will see.
It's a tricky road to navigate, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, given Ty's like what Ty has said about like his own views towards you know, relationships and such. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems to be somebody who is very open to many things. I mean, there's a reason he is involved in a triangle right now. yes. And it would not surprise me if he was like, hey, I'm down. I mean, he has been flirting with Beth. He's been flirting with Vic, and he's now flirting with Brayden. It definitely seems to be part of, you know, what he's doing in the house. So
he's a man of many talents, yo. And hey, keep revealing new cards. But no, I've always liked Ty. And when Ty, I don't know if we've got, did we ever talk about, I don't know when it happened, but Ty's conversation with Kiefer.
Earlier in the day.
Earlier in the day. And so yesterday really like solidified. I've always liked Ty again, but I like love Ty. Like, Ty is like my guy. He's cool. He's calm. He's funny. He's personable. He's very charismatic, very joyful, very life-giving, life-full. Keep giving adjectives that assimilate to the same thing. But he's also has this mindset of like playing the game and being strategic and wanting to make moves and wanting to position himself in ways to like maneuver very like successfully through the game. And even when I remember this was one part of the conversation with Kiefer, Ty was talking to Kiefer, and then Ty said, do you actually think like Jed, like, do you think that Jed threw the competition like to Roe? And then Kiefer was like, man, I don't know. I don't know. And then Ty was like, I want to talk to him about that. And those little things like that, especially saying it to Kiefer, it, in my mind, it made me think that Ty is like trying not to paint the picture of like, oh yeah, I'm like, I would never not go against Jay. Like, I, like he's still like on the same wavelength that me and Kiefer are. And I just feel like those small things that he says in conversations really like really could do dividends for him in the future of this game. And so Ty is so smart, so wise, and Ty is my dude, yo, literally. And I hope that he can do damage in this game. And he's positioned, he has a target, but he's also navigating and putting other people in front of him in small ways to be like, okay, well, take a shot at them if you're going to take a shot at my group entirely. And so I don't know. I can't say enough good things about Ty.
Yeah, you know, I like him a lot. I hope that everything that he's doing will sort of put him ahead of Jed in terms of the, both like a potential end game, like jury vote, but also in terms of if they are targeted. Right now it does still seem like he is behind. But it does strike me like you do. I'd say in the history of Big Brother, the more reserved person is often the person that will succeed over the one that, like, right now they don't trust Ty. I think right now they might vote Ty out, but in the long run, the introverted players who are also able to be very social, like Ty, I think tend to do pretty well. I think the main thing is that you need to have a good strategic foundation. And he's kind of getting there. He's not making nearly as many mistakes as he used to. I think that over time he might be able to overtake Jed, but right now it does seem like Jed still does have a bit of a leg up here. Back to the game here. We had Jed and Tina talking. They talk about how they will be voting Austin out. Jed is talking about like Tara or Ro. They're trying to like maybe flip this vote, and Tina's like, don't worry about me, I'm voting Austin out. He's like, awesome, like I still see you as a sunsetter, Tina. And they talk about the sunsetters, that's the way that they maintain that connection. Jed lets Tina know that he thinks that they might be able to bring Brayden in as well. It's like, you know, OG sunsetters plus maybe Brayden. And she's like, well, what about Victoria? He's like, well, look, I'm not gonna put up Victoria, but if the option came up and there was a backdoor thing, that would be a good situation, because she's a very dangerous player in this game. And that's Victoria seems to be rising on the hit list of many people in the house, particularly because she's pissed off. She's pissed off at Austin and Brayden. At first it's like, she's like, oh, they're not campaigning at all to me. What the hell? I'm like, who are you, Tara? and then it's revealed she's really pissed off because, Austin Brayden did not invite her to the hot tub. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like this may strike this, something happened in Victoria's childhood with a hot tub and not being invited to like a hot tub or just a type of party where it really hits her hard. And even with this situation, I think the word is empathize with Victoria in this mindset, because I'm like her in this way. And I would not say it's like Tara. I would not say it's like Tara. But I got her frustrations and her annoyance with Austin and Brayden, because if I'm in the house, I want to feel need. I want you to want me to have you. Like, I want you to want me. I want you to want to talk to me. I want you to want to include me. I want you to want to invite me to the hot tub. I want you to say, hey, Vic, we're going to the tub in 10 minutes. Put on a swimsuit and come on, girl. And I want to be running out there with you. You know what I mean? And so I felt like she felt so excluded from them. And she was like, oh, so do I not matter because you're not asking for my vote? And I want to feel needed. I think it was a sense of I want to feel needed. And she didn't think that Austin and Brayden needed her. And I think that's why she got so frustrated. And that's why she was like, you know, walking around puffing her chest out, like, you know, wanting to honestly start an argument, start a problem, because she didn't feel needed and she didn't feel like, oh, I'm not that important for them to like not do this, you know, for them to not what is it called when people try to get their vote?
Campaign.
Yes. I'm not like good enough for them to campaign. And so I don't know. I got her frustration. I was like, honestly, if I was in that mindset, if I was in that house and, you know, I'm the invisible HOH, it's a false sense of power, but it's a real sense of power because she is the HOH, but she doesn't get the visibility to everyone else that she's the HOH. And so it's like, oh, I know I'm hot shit, but you don't know I'm hot shit, but you should know I'm hot shit. You know what I mean? Hot shit.
Yeah, like, hey, I put you on the block, but you don't know that I put you on the
exactly,
block.
So, yeah.
Hey, treat me nice.
Treat me nice.
Yeah. Invite me to your things. I can't believe you wouldn't. Just because I'm screwing you over doesn't mean that you know that I'm screwing you over, and thus I should be invited to all hot tub rendezvous.
Period.
Yes.
Literally. And I don't want Brayden. I don't want. I'm looking at this mic like it's Brayden. Brayden, I don't want you to tell people that I'm hiding in a room because you're pissing me off.
Oh man.
Literally.
So Austin and Brayden do talk a bit more, and he explains further what happened with Ty. And this is the last bit we get here. Apparently. He was egged on by Ty. The Ty was like, hey, you're always winding me up, but you're never delivering. And Brayden was like, I can go there. And he was like, come on, come through. And so he came through.
I loved it. Yo, this like, I don't know. It's just like, I was like screaming when he was talking to Austin in the kitchen. They were like getting their bowls ready. And it was just so cute. It was like, he was like, see, like getting and reenacting it. And his voiceover of Ty was like pretty accurate. Like, yo, man, like, you know, you ain't coming with it. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yo, this is so dope. It's so cute. And then Brayden was like, I started it. I think he said that.
Mm-hmm. He initiated
like in there. Yeah. He initiated it. And so I don't know. I thought I was like, yo, get your game, Brayden. Like, you know, shoot your shot, get it, flirt, you know, do what you have to do, man. This is the Big Brother house. It's lonely. Sometimes you need a little, you know what I mean? You need all those things to, you know, like revive yourself and bring yourself to life in the Big Brother house. You need love. You need lust. You need all these things. Ah, I loved it.
Yeah. And Brayden said that his hand.
Yeah.
On when thigh.
When he said thigh. Taryn, I wanted to throw my elbow out the window. And I don't even know how you can do that. Taryn, I was like, oh, yeah. I loved it. I loved it, yo. I loved it. It was cute. I don't know. I'm just like, now I'm even more giddy because now you're probably making me miss them waking up and him telling Austin something, but I'll be on Twitter later, so I won't fault you on that, Taryn. But I'm like, I need to know what happened next. Like, I need to know how the story evolves.
Yeah,
it's a love story. I love it.
Brayden was like, how am I supposed to know what this means? Mm-hmm. Like, well, how do I know? And Austin was like, wait until tonight.
Wait. Wait until that needs to be on a t-shirt. Wait until tonight. Wow. Dang. Oh my goodness. I it was a conversation with Austin and Brayden. I forgot where this was, but Brayden was like, I want to know like how he feels. Like, I want to tell Beth. And then Austin was like, no, don't like tell Beth. But even though Beth already knew, you know, cause, Ty told him, but you know, I was like, don't like, you know, like when you don't want to ruin something, like say you're like so giddy for someone like, oh, I don't want to say it cause I don't want to spoil anything. If nothing happens, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no, just talk to Austin about it. Austin's about to leave sadly. And then you have to find someone else. But, young love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember there was a conversation earlier in the game where there was this big discussion around like, hey, if you were with somebody and they proposed they bring somebody else into the relationship, would you be open to it? And Ty was always down. Like another, he's okay with another dude coming in. Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't think, but I feel like Ty's down. I feel like he'd be into it.
Hey, let the floodgates come open. And you know, did you ever watch, Celebrity Big Brother UK?
No, not really.
Oh, Taryn, you missed out the season where Tiffany New York Pollard was on. And this is like a quick little, but she was like in a triangle, but not really a triangle because they didn't really like her. But she's just like, look, Tiffany New York Pollard is a queen, Taryn. It's a queen. You know who she is?
Yes, I've heard of, okay. I've heard that, okay. She's a queen.
If you did not know, Taryn, I was out. But, and so she said, and this was an iconic quote. She said, actually, I don't know if I'm saying it, but I'll send you a video of it on Twitter. But it was very funny. But she was like, "I'm coming open." Like she was like, "I'm coming with an open heart."
Wait, she was the one that got mad at
David Bowie's ex-wife, yeah. Angie, because she thought David was dead. Still one of the most top 10 moments of my life experience. But she was like, "I'm coming with an open heart, open hands." Open legs. And it was like she just went down that rabbit hole. And I was like, yes. Like if you want something, and this is to everyone watching, if you want something, go get it. Period.
Yeah. There you go.
My campaign for president. my slogan.
Oh man. So I do think that this is good for both Ty and Brayden. I think that I think this is what Ty needs. He needs an extra ally because I thought it was Kiefer, but Kiefer keeps talking about how Jed is his boy. And so if Ty has Brayden, I do think that's a good thing for Ty. And it would be very good. Like if this is a real thing, it would be very good if, Brayden was still anti the triangle potentially, but not anti Ty and would keep Ty safe. I think that is the edge that Ty needs to sort of catapult himself beyond this alliance that could be put up on the block if the wrong people win HOH next week. So
I agree.
Could be very interesting. Definitely, definitely hoping for good things here for Ty because he's very fun. I like Ty.
He's very fun, you know. Ty's my guy. Ty's my guy, yo. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about him. But something that I was getting, I don't know, I'm getting so annoyed with, because I was such a fan of this person, like in early weeks. But I feel like the third, LaToya left week three, right?
Yeah.
The third week, I don't know, it just kind of like went downhill for me. And it's Tina. And I was so big on Tina because I remember one time we were on and you were talking about like the little ways that Tina solidifies connections with people. And it was when she was having the conversation with Kiefer, LaToya and herself. And then LaToya got up and left. And then she kind of like dialed really into Kiefer and being like, hey, you and I are it. And I just feel like she has so tightly knitted herself with Tara and is not using the same social capacity that I know is within her to like formulate the house. And I feel like even within the Sunsetter, she was oftentimes, you know, having one-on-one, she had one with Ty. And I feel like LaToya was a bridge in a sense for that, like for the gap with the boys. And so since she left, it was kind of like, but I just feel like I hopefully, you know, we're still seemingly so we're getting into the middle of the game, but I want Tara to pick it up. I want Tina to pick it up. Tara can stay where she's at, but I want Tina to really pick it up. And I just had so high hopes for her early. I mean, I saw great potential, but I just feel like she hasn't really like done that much and hasn't positioned herself that well in this game. Like, and hasn't just maneuvered herself well in this game. For it. And so it's been like disheartening for me to see. Not that I'm like losing sleep over, you know, Tina's game, but it's like, you know, still like, dang, like I had all these high hopes. And I'm hoping that whoever stays, I'm thinking Brayden is going to stay, but I'm hoping that he can like do something. Give me something of, you know, some strategic mind and some gameplay in this as well. That's what I want for the weeks to come. You know, I feel like we have some exciting things that could potentially happen. But I just want, my eyes are really on them too, to like bring it, because I feel like the other people in the game, I mean, they have been playing the game to the realm of their, I feel like, capacity in their minds that they can play. But I just feel like they have Brayden and Tina more specifically, has so much potential in this game that I just feel like she isn't grabbing on, and she's kind of just like letting it all like sift through. Or I'm not, words in my mind aren't making sense today. I need to get it together. I had some matcha back there and I was going to drink it, but I just let it go to waste. But I just feel like she's letting like the game like run through her fingers. And so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that if Tina was a more active player, I think that she'd be in a much better spot. Now, of course, there's only so much you can do with the competitions, but she's in a position to influence people, and she isn't using that influence to do anything but keep herself safe. And that's great for now, but she needs to set herself up in the long term. She does talk with Kiefer. Kiefer lets her know that, you know, hey, you're in my mind, you're the most loyal Sunsetter because you're the only Sunsetter that voted to keep me. And he talks about how he would like to take Beth out of the game. Because he does not want Ty or Jed to be taken out yet. You know, we'll see how Tina feels. Tina, honestly, I think was fine with Beth leaving as well. Yeah. But as long as like shots are taken, but I think she would like for the guys to leave. So Beth and Ty talk about their sort of end game plans. Their plan is to keep Tina as long as possible. They see Tina as the person they want to bring to the end the most. And if they can pull in Brayden, that would be great. Tina and Brayden would be the people that they bring along. Kiefer and Vic, they got to go. They're too dangerous. They need to get rid of Victoria in particular. Needs to go. She is too good at competitions. She is too dangerous. They cannot bring her very far.
I heard this and immediately my mind went to, because I don't equate threats as the same way that they equate threats to being. And so when I hear, you know, it's been competition, a person wins two competitions, in my mind, it's not, they're a big threat, they need to go. I look for people who have like social capital in this game and that can like definitely utilize like their social being and their relationships to make it further in the game. And so when I heard, you know, Vic and Kiefer, right, those were the ones that they said like could not really go far, and they wanted Tina and Brayden. I was like, Tina's smart. Like, she hasn't, like, in recent terms, she hasn't really been like escalating her game, but I would not want to deal with Tina in the end game. And Brayden, I can see him being a much more perceivably so weaker player, but still, like, you're just saying people that are threats are people who want competition. And I guess it's the only thing you have to base threats off of. But if you can like run up a hill quick, if you can breathe the ball into a hole quick, if you can hold on to a jug that's about to fall into a tank, it's like, okay, you've worked out, you have some like endurance to you. But I just don't like equate that to being, oh my goodness, like. And I guess we've seen in Big Brother US how much more the end game are like physical comps, but I feel like in Canada it's different. So like their range of seeing, you know, who's a threat and who's not a threat, it really just didn't make sense in my mind. But I can see how they can also think that just based on comps, and that's really the only thing in the game if you're not really looking for social cues that you have to go off of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's they just see them as weaker players, and I think it's a real testament to this this whole notion of like, Vic and Kiefer have been putting in so much work for the guys, but the guys don't care. The work that you're doing for them is only making you a bigger target to them. And they will take a shot at you now because you have won things to benefit them. And that's why you don't put in work for other people in the game.
Yeah. But they do it so well that they're probably like, oh, I don't really realize that I'm doing the work for them. And that's like, you know, one of the parts, they're like, oh, we're doing it for all of us. But no, you're primarily doing it for Ty and Jen and the boys. And so, and then Beth is kind of like, you know, reaping the benefits of just being associated with them by like her threats being their threats in a way. And so,
so that's basically what we have from yesterday. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Jacob?
I think this happened yesterday or it may happen the night before, the day before. But I think Ty was talking to Kiefer and I just really love this moment. And he said, Victoria is going to still have to pay for what she did to LT. And I was just like, yes.
They remember.
They remember. They did not forget it. I know people were like, oh, y'all supposed to like have LT's back, but you're working with a girl that sent her home. But like, no. Because I kind of thought like, yo, you know, justice for LT. But it's still in the back of their minds. And so I just thought that was extremely funny to see and to see that that's still on their minds. And I miss LaToya playing the game. And so, yeah. And I loved your interview with her, by the way. Karen, your interviews are like really good.
Thank you.
I mean, I've never not thought that you're like a dope ass guy at your job, but like, you're like top tier, honestly.
I appreciate that, Jacob. So, it's fun to be able to ask questions, especially like, you know, knowing, watching them on the live feeds and, you know, being able to ask detailed questions is always fun.
And I bet like, do you like go back to like your notes on like the live feed and like, see like, how, I mean, this is, I'll probably ask you another time, but like, I just like want to know your mind of like interviewing the people that you like watch daily and like seeing like, huh, which questions to ask, because you have insight that a lot of other interviewers, like not on like ET Canada, not on like, you know, the pages, because you're like in the trenches, like your ear is to the streets. And I told you that before,
on
to
the Big Brother streets.
To the Big Brother streets, not to every street. But you know, it's so like, you just have such beautiful insights, like ask them more, like more specific questions and have them like talk about the game in like a overall like realm. And so I don't know, it's just like something dope that I've seen your interviews and I just like see the quality of like your question, the quality of like the dialogue that y'all have, and definitely intrigued and, you know, admired a lot. And so,
well, thank you, Jacob. I appreciate
this. Is that a Taryn appreciation. The last 10 minutes of Taryn appreciation segment.
This is the make Taryn uncomfortable on the podcast segment of the podcast.
Well, he just has to sit there and take it while he wants to say, Jacob, we're done.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Tonight we'll be live after the episode to go over what went down in the episode. Tomorrow night we'll be live with the eviction recap. That should be fun. I'm also going to be live on Twitch tonight before the episode at around 5 p.m. Eastern to play Among Us with Puya and the crew on the new map. Yeah, it's going to be
Taryn,
fun.
I'll be there.
Jacob will be there. I wasn't sure.
Did you not? Oh, yes. Did you not see the beautiful graphic?
I was hoping, Jacob, but I didn't want to ask there. You and then you'd be like, no, I'm actually not invited.
Oh, yeah, that would have been awkward. Yeah, okay, you played it safe. You played it safe. But yes, I'll be there with Taryn.
Jacob will be there. We'll be playing. We'll be accusing each other of murder. It'll be great. And then I'm going to go straight from Among Us into the watch party. So I'll be watching the episode live tonight with you guys on Twitch if you want to do that as well. And then
I have another question.
Go ahead.
I know you used to do, like the challenge. Do you not do the challenge watch anymore?
No more challenge watch party because the podcast is on when the challenge is.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Dang, you're right. Okay.
Timing doesn't work. It happens though. So find me there on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me on Jacob_J_Jones everywhere. And so just hit your boy up.
Hit him up. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.